How many of you have been teachers in your lifetime? You can raise your hand. I'm not going to ask any questions. Or there's no quiz, and spelling doesn't count. You're okay. Well, you know when you have those students and it's just not connecting and you're kind of at your wit's end and you don't know what to do with them and the lesson plan that you put together, it doesn't seem to be working. You've been there, right? You know what? Well, you would understand what this teacher was all about. Her name was Helen Mrzola. Helen Mrzola was teaching a ninth grade class, new math. Yeah, I know. New math. Well, yeah, I never figured out the old math. So anyway, her students were working hard at it, but she could tell that they just didn't get it. And they were getting more and more frustrated and more detached from it. And even some of them just getting angry. They couldn't handle it or anything. And she realized that she was at the end of her rope. The kids were at the end of their rope. She needed to do something different. And so she did. She set aside her lesson plan and she decided to ask each of the children to take a piece of paper. And on that piece of paper, they were going to write the names of each of the students in the class. And then they were going to write next to the name of that student in the class something that they liked about that student. Something positive, something, yeah, I like your shoes, I like the way you sing, I like whatever. They would write all these things, something for every single student in the class. It took the whole class session to do it. Fortunately, it was a Friday because when she picked up the papers, she realized she had a lot of typing to do. She took them home and she went through each of the papers and typed out a piece of paper for every student, putting what the other students had said that they had liked about them. Okay, right? Not too bad. Not a bad idea. Monday comes along and she hands out the pieces of paper and the kids were absolutely dumbfounded. They really didn't even know how to express themselves. Some of them were just silent and looking at the paper. Others, their eyes were kind of bugging out. They couldn't believe the things that were there. And one kid said, I didn't even think that anybody knew who I was. Yeah, it's a nice story, isn't it? At the end of your rope, you've got to do something different, maybe change things up a little bit. Well, years later, the students got together. There was a little reunion in the little town. And they all got around her and they said to her, to Miss Helen, we want to show you something. And one of the kids opened up his wallet and there was a piece of paper that he unwrapped. It was taped and it was held together by, you know, just hardly anything there. The edges were all raggedy and she knew what it was. It was that piece of paper from the other students telling him what they liked about him. And the lady opened up her purse and took hers out. Another one said that he had taken his and put it in his wedding album. And student after student took that piece of paper out of something and showed it to her because they held on to it for so long. Who would have thought? I mean, she was just overwhelmed. Who would have thought that a teacher out of desperation on a Friday afternoon would do such a lasting thing, have such a lasting effect on her students? You never know, do you? You never know the little things that you do, how it might affect someone somewhere down the way. You know, often we think that what we need to do is that we need to do the big thing. I'm a guy. Okay, that's what we do. We do grand gestures, right? Yeah, we forget that sometimes it's enough to do the small things, but that's sometimes just the way our DNA works. But something that is small can make a huge difference. Some students were talking, some seminary students, to Stanley, the great missionary Stanley, and they said, you know, if we had been alive back in the day when you were doing missionary work, we could have been great men for God. And Stanley looked at them and said, if you can't be great men for God today, then you wouldn't have been great men back then. Right? Little things. Little things make a difference. We may not even think that it's important, but to another person, it makes it a world of difference. Jesus taught us that the kingdom of God was just like that. The kingdom of God is like seed scattered on the ground. Now listen to Jesus' words. The kingdom of God is if somebody would take seed and just throw it on the ground. Now, you and I know that seems somewhat like inefficient farming, but a lot of good seed gets lost that way, simply scattering seed upon the ground. But Jesus is not giving us lessons in agriculture. He is talking about the kingdom of God. And he's saying that the very tiniest of seeds, the smallest seeds, can produce an enormous harvest. One evening, 164 years ago, Jean-Henri Dumont woke up, and outside his window of his home in Switzerland, he heard an excited babble going on. People were shouting, and something was going on down the street. He wanted to see what it was. He couldn't hear what it was at first, but he caught words about fighting and about war. And through all the confusion, eventually he's able to determine that a war had started with Italy. And he hastily packed up a few things. He wanted to go and see what was going on. He wanted to see for himself just what war looked like. And so he arrived in Italy, where he saw soldiers fighting on the side of a hill near the town of Castiglion. It seemed like everybody was shooting at everybody else, and he watched as men were hit by bullets. They screamed and they fell to the ground. He never had seen anything like it before, and he felt that he should do something. He should help those wounded men somehow. And so when the fighting stopped at dusk, he went into the nearby town and he asked everybody, can you come with me to the battlefield? Let's help those wounded men. And bakers and farmers and tailors, they responded at once, and they spent the night there giving aid to those wounded soldiers. And it's hard, though, for Henry to forget. I mean, he thought about it a great deal when he came back home to Switzerland. So he decided that he would write down what his experience was all about. And so he described the horrible sight of battle and men being shot. And he suggested every country should have a relief society, a kind of emergency aid service to help wounded soldiers. And it was 5 years later, the first rescue society was organized in Geneva, Switzerland in 1864. They called it the Red Cross. And soon other countries joined in the society. Everybody forgot about Henry and his article, but it appeared in a newspaper in 1895, and because of it, he won the first Nobel Peace Prize. A little thing. Just a little thing. Just a little article. Just something suggesting that something needed to be done. Who would have thought that something so insignificant as watching a battle would bring about so much good? But you know what he did, right? He planted a seed that would germinate and help millions of people all around the world. That's the way the kingdom works. A great harvest from little acts of kindness, little seeds that you plant. That's the first lesson from this parable. But there's a second as well, and that is that growth is occurring even when it's not evident to us. Jesus said the earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. It is a mystery. Centuries later, we still don't completely understand how it works. Growth is a mystery to us, but our task is not to understand it. Our task is to plant the seeds. We don't know if the seeds we plant will ever take hold, but that should not be what makes a difference to us, and it certainly should not discourage us. Growth doesn't take place because of our understandings or our manipulations. It is God's initiative that brings forth growth. And so all the little things that the church does, all the little things that you do, the kindness that you do to a stranger, you think to yourself, gee, I wonder if they will remember that. I wonder if that will make a difference when you give of yourself, when you give of your money, or you bring a can of soup next week, which you all are going to do, right? And you bring a cotton picking can of soup and you put it in the box and you think, there's my seed. Pitiful. It's a can of tomato soup. Oh, but my God, what God can do to it. And take that into somebody's hand, and one morning when they wake up and there's something for them to eat or to give to their children, you have planted a seed, and they know what they know where that came from. They know that it came from God, because they're not going to know it came from you unless you write your name on it, which I would not recommend, but you can do that. It's so often we lose our motivation because we think that it's just a small thing. We don't see anything coming from the efforts and we give up. But wait, because the parable of the scattered seed teaches us just when we are ready to give up, some seed will sprout. Just when we think nothing will happen, growth will take place. When we need to be patient, not give up, because sometimes growth takes longer than you and I expect. God works in ways that we don't understand, often hidden from view. And we just have to be patient. good story. Clarence and his wife adopted a daughter who they were told had emotional problems, and the truth was she had terrible problems. The place, the home where she was, the orphanage, wanted to keep her there because she had so many issues. But Clarence and his wife, they had faith. They knew that it was going to be okay, so they made a decision. And it wasn't long before they thought maybe we'd made a mistake. As year after year passed, they consulted with principals and counselors and teachers. Terms like character disorder, sociopath, psychopathic behavior were used to describe their daughter's behavior. The experts all agreed there was no hope for improvement. And over the years, Clarence and his wife prayed, and they prayed long, and they prayed hard, and there was no observable results. And eventually, the girl ran away. But some years later, they ran into her, and she was married, and she had kids of her own, and she was living a stable life. She had gotten the life that she deserved. And all that they had to do was to wait. They discovered, so much to their amazement, that she had actually finished high school and gone to college. "We lost faith," Clarence said, "but God was faithful. God never stopped answering our prayers." It wouldn't be that they thought their daughter could have changed so much. It must have been the seeds of love that they planted in her, that at some point God brought around and it made all the difference. See, God works in ways we don't understand. God's ways are not our ways, and he works slowly sometimes, but surely, to achieve his will in the world. But the end result is really not up to you. I mean, I love it when my friends who do revivals, and I do have friends who do revivals. They're not Presbyterians, but well, they're good people. And they'll say, "Well, you know, how did it go?" "Well, I saved 8 people last night. 8 people came forward, and I'm very happy for them, and I'm happy for the 8 people. But I want to question them and say, you did that? You did that? You yourself? Yes. I was preaching the word, and they heard the word, and they came forward." And I want to show them this bit of scripture and say, "Yeah, well, good for you, and thank God for that, and I get that. But don't you think God had something to do with this? That maybe the seeds that were planted by that person's parents way back when, or their grandmother way back when, or a teacher, or an opportunity, something that God planted a little seed in their heart that came to fruit when you held your revival." Because, you see, we are not in control as much as we like to think we are. God is in control. Great things can happen from small beginnings. Jesus explained that the kingdom of God is, quote, like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Did you see in the bulletin the picture of the person holding a little mustard seed? Yeah. Do any of you have mustard seed plants in your yard? You do? I've never actually seen one. I'm coming over to your house. Oh, you've got the seeds. Okay, look, you can get those at Publix. I know, okay? It's pretty cool. It's a little teeny tiny seed. But when it's put in the ground and it grows into this large shrub. It's only a tiny speck, yet when it grows, Jesus tells us, the greatest of all shrubs puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in the shade. It's hard for us to get excited about this since we live in an age when all sorts of amazing discoveries are around us. But for people living in the pre-scientific days, it must have been truly amazing. It just blew their mind that such a big plant would come from such a tiny little bitty seed. The parable of the mustard seed, though, is a word of encouragement for you and for me. Things might not be what you and I want them to be, but there is still hope. God works in mysterious ways. God is still with us, even when our efforts are frustrated, because he is the source of growth. Growth often starts out small, like a mustard seed, and then blossoms into something big. You won't recognize the name of Rita Rizzo. She was a rough childhood. She spent most of her life in poverty. When she was a young woman, though, she decided to become a nun. And then she believed that God was calling her into a television ministry. And at the time, she didn't know anything about television except that it had two things on top that you moved to get the channels to work, you know. But she prayed about it. And she decided that she would go ahead with a project, believing that everything would fall into place of putting together a spiritual program for people. And with only $200 and a handful of other sisters, she became the only woman in religious broadcasting to own her own network. I guess she was kind of like Oprah, but with a habit or something, you know, pretty amazing. And she was seen by millions of people twice weekly on her program, Mother Angelica Live. Any of you ever watched that show? You can admit it. It's okay. I know she's Roman Catholic, but I've watched her quite often. She visitors to the Eternal Word Television Network complex in Birmingham, Alabama, can't help but be impressed by what God and this little nun have accomplished. There's a monastery there. There's network facilities that have this huge satellite dish. There's a print shop and a chapel. But see, she doesn't take herself too seriously, which is probably why people enjoy watching her. It features a studio audience, and she gets calls in from all around the nation, as well as popular guests. But the show is sometimes a little bit less than polished, and she offers firm, no-nonsense advice on morality, yet is quick to encourage and express compassion to people. Often on her program, she ministers to anonymous callers or counsels couples whose relationships have become strained, and at times even gently scolds people that are struggling with drugs and bringing God's healing to, quote, to those who perhaps can't reach out any other way. Now, who would have thought? Rita Rizzo, coming from an impoverished background, starting on her own with just a few $100s, would reach out and help millions of people. Whoever would have thought that from such a tiny seed would come such a large shrub? But you see, that's the way the kingdom works. Tiny seeds, mysterious growth. And that is the story of every church as well, including this one. Whoever would have thought that from the often inept disciples, the gospel message would spread to around the entire world? Yet you and I are here today because centuries ago, a tiny seed was planted. They planted the seed, and God gave the growth. And throughout the church's history, church after church after church have been the beneficiaries of that and have taken that into the world. This church has been here for a very, very long time, but, you know, you didn't have to come up with the idea, did you? Because they're all dead. They're all gone, the ones who started this church, unless somebody's here is a lot older than I think you should be. So I got to ask you, though, that's all in the past. Are there seeds that you and I could be planting today? Could it be words of love, some act of encouragement? Is there some ministry that you and I could be involved in, realizing that from the tiniest seeds, growth can come? Because the kingdom of God is like a seed scattered on the ground. Have you some seed that you can scatter today? Let's pray for it. Our Father, as we are gathered in this church together, we are the recipients of a tremendous amount of growth from seeds planted long before we ever came in these doors. And yet, every day, we have an opportunity to share in the Word of God with other people through a kind word of encouragement, with something that will touch their hearts, a note of generosity. Whatever it is that you would have us to do, we are farmers, spreading the seed of your love in this community. But we don't see it. We don't know how it works. And so often we miss it. Don't let us miss it today. As we gather around this table and we share in this time of communion, draw us together as your family. And then as we leave this place, we take this with us to draw more into your family. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.